Hello and welcome back to the KI Prime podcast. I'm Alina Jenkins, and in this episode, we're speaking to Ardi Findiartini. Ardi is a medical doctor and a professor in medical education from the Faculty of Medicine, Universitas Indonesia in Jakarta. She is currently the head of the Medical Education Unit and the chair of Medical Education Cluster of Indonesia Medical Education and Research Institute. She is also the current chair of Aspire Excellence in Faculty Development Panel, and a member of the Faculty Development Committee in AIMI. She has a wide area of interest in medical and health professions education, and for the last 15 years, her area of research has been centred around clinical reasoning and critical thinking. Ardi, welcome.
Thank you very much, Alina.
Tell me more about this area of research, and are you still focused in this area?
Yeah, I think it's a very important question, because actually I started my research on my PhD after I completed my medical doctor training. So I work in curriculum development, assisting the more senior faculty in preparing the revision of the curriculum. And that time I thought about, I know that I've been doing so-called the dirty works. And I kept asking myself about why I'm doing things. And that's where I got into and get exposed with medical education. So curriculum is not only mechanistic way to develop things and to make people achieve certain competence. We'll talk about medical students, but there's a lot of philosophy behind it, why we're doing things. So whenever I was offered the PhD position with a full scholarship in Melbourne Medical School in Australia, I took advantage of having reflections, deep reflections of my own medical training around how I achieve this competence of clinical decision-making and clinical reasoning. And I didn't find that I was taught. I mean, I got there finally as a medical doctor. Of course, when you see patients, you can develop the differential diagnosis and you finally got that ability. But if I were asked about how did I learn that, how was I taught, it would give me a pause, a long one. And that's where I think that, okay, I will just, being a medical doctor, tap into the medical education for the first time. I think I need to use my previous experience and previous thought about around the things that I think I'm comfortable with. So I started with the research around teaching and learning of clinical reasoning. So it was a comparative case study between Indonesia and Melbourne. And I learned a lot from there that it's not about I learned a lot about the medical education as a whole, and in particular about clinical reasoning. And it's still close to my heart because I'm a medical doctor still. And at the same time, it gives me a lot of opportunity to also explore different aspects, different connected aspects of medical education. And at the same time, it gives me a very important lesson on the importance of the context. So whenever you compare and contrast between Melbourne and Indonesia, for example, Australia and Indonesia, it doesn't mean that your aim is to find the limitations or the strengths, but you become more appreciative of what has been done here because of what reasons, and also in another context. So it gives me a lot of thoughts on the role of the context, the sociocultural context, that the way the teachers think about the way they teach the students this very critical competence around clinical decision making and clinical reasoning is very much influencing the way they translate to the teaching in day-to-day basis. So I'm talking about the basic science teachers, clinical teachers. Another key lessons that I got from my PhD is that the importance of not only students, of course, I come from a very hierarchical culture with a big power distance. So I see that even the students have certain aspirations on how they want to learn something. But still, I can see the very critical role of the faculty, the critical role of the teachers. And along those studies around clinical reasoning, actually, I've been expanding a lot to other fields because during my first, I think, first 5 years of my career, if you asked me at that time, and I still think that I'm a lifelong learner. So even though I feel that I am now in focusing in some aspects of or some areas of medical education, I still that I want to still expand more. And that's where I come into the realizations that I need to be able to translate the best practices, the theory, the research into practice. What I call as a practice here is the in day-to-day teaching and learning. So if I, from my studies on clinical reasoning, teaching and learning, then we translated that with the team, we translated that into the workshop material for our clinical teacher. So if you know students, we need to know that even though they are in the same level, say in the fifth year, we need to understand that clinical reasoning is very individual process. So we, as a teacher, we need to make sure that we are able to support each one of the student. So we come up with a simple way to do it, and it's in the literature as well, to use the think aloud technique where, okay, whenever you are with the students, 3 to 5 of them, for example, or 3 of them, make sure that you know in discussing certain case or just encounter the patient, make sure that as a teacher, we know what they think about the patient individually and why they think that way. And we use different techniques that has been on the literature to finally at least give the clinical teacher something to hold on, even though we also discuss with them and reflect together that based on your field, based on your experience so far as clinical teacher, make sure that your 2 minutes, your 3 minutes with students or 5 minutes with students matters. Means that make sure that there's something that you have discussed with them. You're not just telling them what you think, but the way you develop your the clinical reasoning of each student is that you give them opportunity to express what they think. Sounds very simple, mm-hmm. but it actually came from deep reflections and a lot of study. At least I thought that way that at that time that, okay, I'm doing this study and people keep asking me about what I'm doing as a medical doctor, doing medical education. It's like, okay, I need to translate some of these studies, at least from the lessons learned that I had, not only through publications, of course, I write papers on that, but how do I then use that to improving the practice in teaching and learning in medicine? So from there, then I moved to the faculty then. I actually, since the work before my PhD, I've been doing a lot of the curriculum development and evaluation with the I need to support myself to learn and et cetera. But I remember that I was in a conference in 2010 or 2011. I don't remember exactly. But I remember that Professor Arnold Hardin, so he's it's very prominent. He's a giant in medical education, I can say. Yeah. So he expressed one of his critical ideas that time it's really struck me because he said, curriculum development is always about faculty development. So unless we develop the teachers, we support the teachers to be able to convey or to be able to support convey the content of the curriculum or support the students, then our so-called curriculum will not be happening. So that's where actually I think I get the okay. So it means that the faculty development needs to be very systematic, and I've been focusing really on the other part of the so it's how people give feedback and how do people or faculty can facilitate the group discussion or critical thinking, how we as medical teachers, regardless of our background, supporting our students in developing good questions, for example. So it's some basic skills. And then move on to something more, I think something deeper around for the so the past 5 years around. Because it came from my own realization and deep reflections that from the very questions around, why am I doing this? Why am I doing medical education? It's actually translated into questions, perhaps, being possessed by my colleagues, medical teachers, be it in the clinical departments or basic science department, about why we are here, why we're doing this as medical teachers. So the faculty development is not only about how the model of faculty development, but more into the professional identity, personal and professional identity, because it's really close to my heart and close to my own experience. So I would like to explore this area more because I want the medical teachers to have a best support that they can have so that they can give also, they can provide also the best learning experience for the students and facilitating them.
It's wonderful that you sort of start in one place, and we've been talking about culture and context, and then we're it's all the C's moving into then curiosity and communication. And I'm just fascinated actually by how your research links in with the other areas that we're talking about around feedback and around culture as well. So where do you see sort of the next few months or the next few years? Do you think that you will end up focusing more on the context and the culture, or are you going to move off into other areas?
I think I would like to also use time to really step back. And we had a very great discussion this morning, and it got me thinking that, okay, I think it's time for me. I just got my full professorship end of last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And it got me thinking that, what do I do next? Mm. So it's really a valid question. Thank you very much, Alina. And because currently, I think for the past few months, I had to admit that I don't prioritize my role. I don't prioritize my work well because I've been like randomly do a lot of things that I've been doing. And I think I need to just stop for a while. And I think this is the K Prime Fellowship gives me that luxury, that opportunity to really think through what I'm going to do next. So I think I love medical education, I must say. And being in medical education keep me grounded also as a medical doctor. Even though that I decided not to see patients anymore because of other commitments, family, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a Muslim, and I realize my own identity, and it gives me, you can call it rationalizations, or the how I decide not to. I need to prioritize things. That's the thing. So working in medical education and being involved in the development of medical education give me this grounding feeling that I'm still in medicine, but I moved to more like the earlier stage of patient care or the healthcare, because my role is in preparing the teachers so that they can teach the students, support the students and the residents and undergraduate, postgraduate students to move forward to achieve their competence. Where I hope my vision is that if we as the medical educators can support them well, both the students and the teachers, then they will achieve their competence and their ability as the excellent health practitioners, which eventually we hope they will change or improve the patient care. So with that thought, I think I will stick to the area that I've been interested in faculty development, because doing this actually gives me the cutting edge approach that I can also think of still the why I'm trying to support the teachers this way. And at the same time, I want to create more supportive community for medical educators. So I'm thinking that my role should be in our country, in our setting, when you reach a professorship, full professorship, it means that individually you have reached your goal. It's time for you to think about what can you do next, yes, but also what can you do outside of yourself. So it means that I need to look out more outwardly. So I'm thinking about still doing the studies, doing the research, and also maybe include myself in the mentoring, and I would like to support my junior colleagues and also the students interested in medical education, etc. So. And another point, talking about the culture, talking about the globalization and the diversity, inclusion and equity, I believe that medical educators, including myself in our regions, need to have more conversations with the global community in medical education so that we can be hurt better. And at the same time, we can also learn more by realizing our own context. So I think it should go both ways, realizing each one context. But I do realize as the medical educator from Global South countries that we need to put ourselves out there better so that we can collaborate more with the global community. So I've been fortunate since 2011, after finishing my PhD, I decided that I need to tap myself into the community as early as possible. So coming to international conferences for us is not cheap, but I think that it's a long-term investment, because by coming to international conference, it's not only the opportunity for me to presenting our work, but also for me to, I seek my mentors through the international conferences. I check the schedule of every international conference that I went to. And okay, this time I would like to approach this and this. And it means that, okay, I need to read some of their work so that I can have further conversation. So if I was asked, who is your mentor? I cannot pinpoint one person, because my mentors are collective mentors. A lot of people being my mentors up till today.
I've said this before, Ardi, but I don't think I've ever met a community quite like the medical education research community, who are so supportive of each other.
Yeah, true.
Where mentorship sits at the very heart. And then you've just said there, I can't possibly name one. And I think that fills me with confidence for certainly some of your challenges around those differences between the Global South and the Global North. Those differences are starting to sort of unpick themselves, and those conversations that you're now able to have. Why is it important for you to be here at KI Prime, Ardi? What do you think that will mean for you and your research?
For me, actually, very first thing is about the acknowledgement that what I've been doing is, because I must say that in our country, I've been taking the road less traveled. So being a medical doctor, moved to medical education full time. And being here, it means that I feel that I exist, and that even though the road is less, maybe still less traveled by most of my colleagues in Indonesia, especially medical doctors, still I got this recognition. And I think it's been fascinating to, so you feel that you're in a certain stage where you are fully constructed. But now I think I need to be ready to be deconstructed, deconstructing all of my thoughts about whether I'm doing the right thing or not, and etc. And really see this, my research especially, from different lenses, different ways, so that I can answer your question better next time about what I'm going to do next.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier about lifelong learning, which is a phrase I often hear. And then you mentioned that, and you know, sometimes people get to be a professional and go, well, that's it. I've reached my goal. And certainly from the discussions that I've been having over the last few years, people come to KI Prime and just go, do you know what? It's almost like I've been given permission, as you say, to unpick.
Yeah, unpack
and start thinking about what I'm going to do next, and then linking it to other areas as well.
Yeah, because I must say that most academia in my country think that being a full professor is the end of the road. And I might be, I don't know why, but I still think that it's just a means to an end. I still have a long way to see the end. So it means that I need to always, you know, like packing, unpacking, constructing, deconstructing the way I do things. And still, the thing about our setting is that, especially in medical education, that we have to be able to contribute in some ways, in more tangible ways. So if I want to focus only on doing research, I can do that actually now. But I don't want to be selfish, because I'm a medical educator. It means that if I do research in medical education in whatever area, it means that I need to also contribute to the improvement of the practice of the teaching and learning in medicine. So my philosophy around the research in medical education since the beginning still holds. So maybe doing it in different ways, have more collaborations, and being open-minded of maybe new adventure or a new area that can contribute to our research, but still having it anchored in what our society and our setting is actually need. So I think it's a balance between the two.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you as well is that obviously in the world of medical education research, people are passionate about finding different ways and looking at different things and maybe making changes. If you then want to try and apply some of those thoughts into the real world, particularly when you're working with faculty, is there that same appetite for, well, let's try and do things differently? Or just people thinking, we've always done it this way, why do we need to change? Do you find that there's some challenges around that for you?
Yeah, of course, of course. Especially in our setting where I'm still considered a young faculty. So I need to be able to have a good conversations with my senior, of course. And I learned that I need to listen to everyone I need to empathize with everyone's need, because that's where we can then hopefully have a breakthrough on how we do things. And yeah, I think your question is very much reflective in a way that if we want to do things differently, it's not only about, of course, it's not only about how we do things how we do things differently, but why we do things differently. So finding the why here, I think it's always important to go back to who is the audience and who is going to use this and who is going to be benefited most of this. Is it only the faculty? We don't hope that it's only the faculty who get the benefit, but of course, we want also it have impact on, it has impact on the learning environment. It has impact on the students and et cetera. So I think I also learned that being a medical educator, doing the research around professional development, faculty development, and et cetera, I also learned the importance of our willingness to, what is it, to translate that into practice. And it means, and I do realize the importance of the communication and leadership. Without that, without those skill set, I'm not sure that I and my team, I'm not only talking about myself, of course. I've been always working a lot of things with the team, but the leadership needs to be there. It means that if our leaders, senior leaders, do not see this as important, it means that we need to advocate. We need to provide them with evidence and et cetera. And we need to provide them with the data that we need this. Our students need this. We need to do this. You need to support us to do this. And we've been also, maybe smartly using the support from the senior faculty. So from the leadership point of view, I need to map out, we need to map out, okay, I need to have the consolidations with this group. Mm-hmm. It means I need to talk to them. The senior will say once they support us, they will be the champions and great supporters. We need them. We need to approach them. So it's, I also learned about change management and try my best to enact that in practice so that what we have from the research, of course, we will be translated into practice. And at the same time, from our observations in the practice, then we can maybe inspired about what the research has not been fulfilling. So something like that. So the cycle of doing the research and translate it into practice and got the ideas from the practice and bring back the research and et cetera. So it's a cycle that I think I've been, so coming from my own philosophy, that has been helpful in, okay, I'm doing research because of that and et cetera. But actually last night, I shared with the group this morning about, it was mind-blowing for me because whenever Astrid taught us about the, most of the time when she does the paintings, it's been a selfish process for her. As long as she can express her emotions and she feels that she can do it right, she will just feel that, okay, this is okay. But from my own philosophy before, I always think relevance as, you know, why am I doing this? Is it important for the users? And et cetera. It's, I think I'm, I will going to, I will be still open-minded about it. And I think it's important to see, to also see ourselves, of course, coming from the identity and et cetera. And then, so in my religion, it's always important to, why am I doing this? Part of it is, as a person, we need to be beneficial for our surroundings. It's part of our belief. So I think with that thought, I want to move forward. I don't have the landscape yet, Alina. So it's still blurry. But I believe I will get there.
Yeah, I believe so too. It's been really, really fascinating speaking to you, Ardi. All the very best with what you do, particularly if you do pause and have that moment of reflection, which I think is always important.
And those are the reflections. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're so welcome, Ardi. Great to meet you. And thank you to everyone for listening at home. We'll be back very soon with another episode of the KI Prime podcast. For now, goodbye.